I just want to start out by saying it's just so great seeing everyone just sitting right. You're probably like, I don't like sitting, so don't say it's great. But it's really cool. I mean, with the Christmas lights, and this is titled Sanctuary Family Christmas. And I just feel a really great sense of family right now. So I know the worship team, Sank staff, we pray for each and every one of you all the time, and we really feel like we're family here. And that's what tonight's about. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Advent leading up to Jesus' birth. And I'm so glad to spend it with family today. So as Alina was saying, this is the third week of our Becoming Fearless series. And we're talking about fear becoming praise. I think that was last week. but I want to start out with a question for you. Have you ever had like an interaction with someone that forever changed the course of your life? Like you were going in one direction, your life was headed in this direction, and all of a sudden you talk with someone, and in that interaction, it just redirects you forever. And maybe you've experienced this with a teacher, a boss, a parent, a friend, a coworker, or anyone. And I remember the spring of my senior year at college, I made a firm vow to never go to school again. So like I was done with school. I never wanted to read again. I never wanted to think again. I was done. Until I had a conversation with a really good friend of mine when we were walking to class. So when we were walking, he told me that after school, he was headed off to seminary to get his Master's of Divinity. And the Master's of Divinity is an in-depth 3 to 4 year theological studies program. And little did he know that when he was talking about that, I was in the middle of deeply questioning seminary for myself. I didn't know if I was being called to it or not. I didn't really know what calling meant. But the thought of more schooling, like especially something as challenging like seminary, it really actually troubled me. Like, honestly, I was afraid of it. So I told him when we were walking that seminary for me, sorry, bud, out of the question, that there was no way, that I didn't want to study intensively for three to four more years. I didn't want to have to write paper after paper after paper after, and it will go on forever. And I didn't want to, like, learn Greek and Hebrew. I did not want to memorize facts about church history, take extensive internships. So I told him that seminary just sounded too hard. And then he stopped, and then he said, yeah, I guess it is. But no matter what we choose, life is going to be hard. And to some degree, it's a matter of choosing our hardships. Whoa, for some reason, when he said that, that sentence forced its way into a crack in my mind and my heart. And the idea of being the idea of life being hard no matter what, and then in a sense, we're just simply choose different hardships, it right-sized my fears. And at that moment, I knew where I was headed, even if it was going to be hard. To seminary, the land of dead biblical languages and gnashing of teeth. It was gonna be the next chapter of my life, and I was super pumped about it. No, but it was actually one of the best seasons of my life. I'm super grateful for it. But like my friend, an angel of the Lord, many accounts naming him Gabriel, seemed to have the same life-changing effect on people when he'd meet with them and he would talk with them all around the time of Jesus' birth. To Joseph, Gabriel said to marry his betrothed, Mary, because she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that he was to raise this child as his own and call it Jesus, that Jesus will save his people from their sins. But Joseph was afraid. To Zechariah, he said his wife Elizabeth, who was apparently far past the age of childbearing, would bear a child, and that this child would be great in the sight of God, and he will make ready a people and prepare the way for the Lord. But Zechariah was afraid. And to the shepherds, he said that in the town of David, a Savior had been born, that he is the Messiah, the Lord. But the shepherds were afraid. And to Mary, that she had found favor with God. She'd found favor. And that she will conceive and give birth to a son. And that she will call his name Jesus. That he will be great. And that he'd be called the Son of the Most High. But Mary was afraid. Now I want to pause and talk about our brother Gabriel for a second. Like, all these interactions that he's having with people and they're afraid. Like, I've read that and I'm like, okay, like, was he terrifying? Seriously, I'd read the Bible and be like, what is up with this dude? Like, did he have a face that was super scary when, like, both man and woman first looked at him? Did he, like, talk in a weird murdery voice? Like, Mary, you've found favor with... I'm really bad at all impressions. I hope I never hear what a murdery voice sounds like. But, I mean... Did Gabriel have terrible people skills? Like, was he, like, really, really bad at first interactions, like going for the handshake when someone's going for the hug? I don't know what the dude was all about. Like, and I don't know if he was one of those people that shout talk. Like, Mary didn't know the dude was there, and he's like, hey, Mary! And she's like, whoa, whoa! He's like, don't be afraid. She's like, well, stop shouting, buddy. and all I'm going to say is that the angel Michael never had this problem. He never did. I mean, the Bible doesn't really mention people being terrified when Michael came and talked to him. But then again, I guess most Michaels are pretty chill and likable. I have like 5 Michaels in my life group alone, so I know that joke didn't land on dry ground. But maybe some of this fear stemmed from the sight of seeing an angel. I mean, who knows? Like, granted that his appearance would actually raise like a fearful response. Or maybe, I mean, just maybe, when Gabriel interacted with one of these key Advent players, he spoke directly to a deeply personal area in their lives. And when he did that, that stirred up great fear. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at Mary, Jesus' mother, and how her fear, the fear that rose up when Gabriel spoke with her, actually turned into praise. Now, Mary, we don't know a ton of details about Mary when Gabriel met her, but we do know a couple things. We know that she was betrothed to Joseph, and betrothal was this year-long formal process that led up to official marriage. It's like being engaged for a year. So much fun, I hear. It's sort of like this formal, drawn-out engagement. In the ancient world, during this time, betrothal could start as early as the age of 12. And while we don't know how old Mary was at this time, she very well could have been under the age of 18. And we know that she had a family and was relatively close to her family. Earlier in Luke, we learned that Mary's cousin Elizabeth was married to a priest named Zechariah, and that later in that story, Mary would go and live with Elizabeth and Zechariah for several months. And we know a little bit about the socioeconomic status that Mary was marrying into from her betrothed Joseph. I mean, Joseph was a carpenter. And now, like, that probably wasn't the flashiest of jobs. Like, he probably wasn't, like, the top 1%ers in Jerusalem. But it did produce an income. And Joseph was also a devout religious man. And he was related to King David, who lived hundreds and hundreds of years before. King David was a pretty popular man, and everyone knew about it. And we also know that Mary was a virgin, and that Mary was a model believer. Mary took God at his word. And we learn that she is thoughtful. We learn that she's faithful. We learn that Mary is obedient. And while she was in this state of betrothal, she was visited by Gabriel. In his gospel, Luke wrote, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm still a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Again, we get this, do not be afraid, dialogue that Gabriel was now getting used to saying. But what's interesting about this encounter is why he said it. Verse 28, it says that Gabriel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored, Mary. Now, what's interesting is the next verse. Right after that, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So then, in verse 30, the next verse, Gabriel restated his greeting and brought attention to just what caused so much trouble and fear for Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Mary had found favor with God, and she should not be afraid of this. Being called favored typically doesn't cause someone to like be troubled or afraid, unless favored is a word that you typically don't associate with yourself. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt average? Have you ever felt ordinary? Now, I know that these words really can be like swear words in such an innovative, driven, and successful culture as the Silicon Valley. I mean, why be average when you can be above average? I mean, that's what we hear. Why be ordinary when you can be extraordinary? Why settle for second best when you can achieve the best? But sometimes we feel average. I mean, sometimes we feel ordinary. When I ended up in seminary after undergrad, I found myself in what is called a Hebrew intensive class, where we basically started from absolutely no knowledge of Hebrew to, in 10 weeks, what was practically like written fluency. And like I feared, it was hard. It was really, really, really times 100. It was very, very difficult. It was really hard. In fact, Hebrew taught me that no matter how hard I tried, because I tried really, really hard, there are just some areas that feel next to impossible for me to shine in. And that was hard. Seminary taught me the hard lesson of unescapable average. And as seminary taught me this lesson, like I'm sure that you have all had different hard circumstances that have taught you the same. Because in some cases, we've learned that the lesson that average, or a lesson of being even below average, although it can feel like we are less than at the time, and maybe even failures, is unavoidable. There's some areas that we're just going to be average at, that we're going to be ordinary. And if we're not careful when we're living in that, ordinary can idolize extraordinary. And then there was Mary, youthful, faithful, thoughtful, engaged, and ordinary. And Mary encountered Gabriel, and he said that she was highly favored. And this troubled her. I mean, this brought out a lot of fear within her. I mean, how can an ordinary person be highly favored? I mean, she wasn't rich. There wasn't anything too special about her. She wasn't even in the city of Jerusalem, where the more successful and above average extraordinary people were. Instead, she was far off. She was in Nazareth, in a town in Galilee where common people like carpenters lived. I mean, if God was truly coming into this world, why would he come through the ordinary when he could come through the extraordinary? And although Mary was probably considering these things and troubled to the point of fear, what's interesting is her response. instead of fighting or denying, instead of debating favor with the argument of average, Mary chose to trust. Mary chose how God viewed her over how she viewed herself. Mary said to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And with that acceptance came the acknowledgement that God's favor isn't influenced by our system of values, but by his love, his unending, equal gift of love for everyone, everywhere, no matter what we've done or who we are. In fact, his love is the greatest expression of his favor. And the first Christmas was not only for the least. It wasn't only for the greatest. It was for everyone. And it was for the ordinary. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, we've probably found ourselves struggling with our ordinary, leading us to thinking, if only my job were more extraordinary, if only my life were more extraordinary, if only I traveled to more extraordinary places, if only I made more extraordinary friends, if only I dated that person who just seems to be so extraordinary, if only my body, my appearance was more extraordinary, if only, then maybe things would be different. Maybe I had experienced what this word favor is all about. I mean, often I've found myself thinking that I will gain favor with others and God by identifying all of my ordinaries and then replacing them with extraordinaries. This is the gospel of the Silicon Valley, if only. And what about my failures? I mean, what about my sins? What about all of the areas that I try to be better at, that we try to be better at with little to no success? I mean, how can we be favored in the light of our failings? And how can God give us anything when we feel like we don't deserve it? Now, here's the thing that doesn't make sense. And here's the thing that challenges what the world values, the thing that troubled Mary so much because it seemed just so out of place. God freely gives. God freely gives his love. We can't achieve it. We're only to receive it, believe it, and follow. God freely gives his favor to the failure, to the ordinary, to the extraordinary, to any that would live with and for him. And God freely gave his son, Jesus, to be born into this world so that a light that can never be dimmed can shine, a light that causes darkness to flee, a light that gave a glimmer of hope to a weary world because the world now had a Savior who would save its people from their sins, a light that is shining brighter and brighter and will soon overcome all darkness. And for those of you who are wandering this Christmas, for those of you who feel like you are in darkness, for those of you who are in need of love, for those of you who are in need of favor, for those of you who are in need right now, at this very minute, of a Savior, Jesus came to save you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how ordinary you are loved and you are forgiven. You don't have to be more. You just have to be you. And for God, that's enough. In fact, when you think about it, everyone here and individually, you are the reason that Jesus came into this world. Have you thought about that? When we're thinking about Christmas, singing the songs, thinking about Jesus coming in this lowly state of a manger, he did it for you. Fascinating. You are the reason that Gabriel visited Mary. You are the reason that this first Christmas ever happened. Because the thought of God not making a way for your sins to be forgiven, I mean, the thought of God not being able to love you and ultimately be with you for all eternity was unthinkable. God has spoken. He loves you. And like Mary, we have the opportunity to say, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So he sent his son into this weary world, and his coming made a way for us to come to him. And tonight we celebrate this light that came into this world to blind the darkness, to just blind all fear. When this light was promised to come through Mary, at the mention of it being realized through a favored ordinary, fear turned into praise. And right after that interaction happened, right after Gabriel left Mary, Mary quickly hurried to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when Mary found her, Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, who was still in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy at the presence of Mary, Jesus' soon-to-be mother. And a sense of praise filled the room. And Mary began to experience her favor in a rather emotional way. At that moment, Mary had replaced her fear with praise. Although she was seen as ordinary by the world, she was seen as extraordinary to God. And because God's favor, God's love isn't influenced by our system of values. And because God's love was about to pierce the darkness in the form of Jesus and bring light to the world, Mary praised God and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful to me. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And friends, like Mary, we have the opportunity to praise God in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of the very real hardships that all of us are dealing with right now, in the midst of our fears, because the light of the world has come in the midst of darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Sin has been blinded. Love is won. So with an honest heart and a great joy, let's continue this night of worship by praising him who is our light, who is worthy of all praise.